Hi, everybody, and welcome once again to another episode of Back to Basics. I continue to be Pastor Don, despite repeated complaints to the contrary, and I am joined once again by the magnificent Courtney Fraley and the also present Tim.
Thanks.
I figured I should get down on you a little bit since I kind of got down on Courtney the last time. So I got to equal it out.
That's fine.
It's that episode Midwestern. It's that Midwestern love by insult approach, you know.
True. That's how true brotherhood is formed here.
Exactly. True brotherhood is formed by creative insults.
How badly can I insult your mother?
Actually, it's a fun side note. When my now wife actually came to visit my family for the first time, we came to visit my family where we were living, and we left and went back to the town where we were both living at the time. And as we're driving back, she turns to me and goes, "Why does your family hate each other so much?"
Now that's all love.
I had to explain it to her because, of course, she didn't. English was not her first language, so she didn't like get the subtext going on there. But I'm like, "Oh wow, yeah." Come to think of it, if you take that on the surface, I really do have to unpack that a little bit, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
So today we are going to be rocking out to more of the story of our boy Joe, down home Joe, who's got about as down home as you can and wound himself up in prison. So, you know, going to see how Joe doing in prison. And that's where we are starting today with Genesis chapter 40, the dreams of two prisoners, which interestingly enough.
Are you sure that's coffee you've got?
Well, Japanese regulation of soda contents is a little bit less stringent than some places. So
I still bet you can't get Faygo.
No, you can't. Actually, you can't get a lot of American pop out here because high fructose corn syrup is basically illegal. So unless they have a sugared alternative, it's not available out here. In fact, I have a very hard time finding Mountain Dew out here because there is a sugared iteration of it, but it's less popular and less highly generated, to the point where there are only maybe 4 vending machines in the city where I can find a can. So on the occasion,
new throwback is great. Okay, now we're talking about pop. I'm sorry, I've done it again.
Want to read the Bible and risk running into all them Hebrew names.
I mean, maybe. How bad is this one? Doesn't look too bad.
Well, we don't have Potiphar or anything like that.
Look like words.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. That was a little bit racist, but okay. We're fine.
It is not. You're talking to somebody who's into Tolkien, okay?
Yeah, I
there
know.
Are times where I'll pick up a new Tolkien book and look and be like, just I'm the Lisa Simpson meme. These are all words, but this doesn't make any sense. Like, I think these are words. Yeah.
Which, by the way, there is a whole separate discussion we could have of the theology of Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. Oh my God, that was a whole thing.
That's a whole other series.
It's a whole other church, like, series and series of series. Oh, gotta take forever. Anyway, we are going into Genesis 40, and I'm going to kick that to our most beloved vice president of consistory, dear Courtney, who is going to read us a story.
The header says the dreams of two prisoners. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he waited on them, and they continued for some time in custody. One night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own meaning. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine, there were 3 branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms came out, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, this is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to when you were his cupbearer. But remember me. When it is well with you, please do me the kindness to make mention of me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this place. For, in fact, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered, this is its interpretation. 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a pole, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. Sorry, allergies. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his cupbearing, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But the chief baker he hanged, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So
okay,
there's a lot of reasons this is like on the greatest hits list for Sunday school. Like, this is a fascinating freaking story.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, and as is our usual approach, I'm going to highlight some of the translational inconsistencies real quick, and then let you guys rip it apart after that.
This is the way.
Yeah. Wait, do I need a helmet for this?
Don't we always?
Sorry, Mandalorian joke. All right.
No, we're not in the cult.
A couple of useful points here. Now, this is a bit semantic, but it's worth noting that the Hebrew term that is used for what happens to our dear chief baker here, the Hebrew term that is used is actually to hang. So he was hanged according to the letter of the translation. But as Alter knows, because Alter does not translate that as hanged, he translated it as impaled.
Mm-hmm.
And he notes in his notes, despite the fact that the Hebrew verb generally means to hang, hanging was not a common means of execution anywhere in the ancient Near East. And there is evidence elsewhere that this same verb was used for impalement, which was frequently practiced. The baker's dire fate would seem to be first decapitation and then exposure of the body on a high stake. So this was not a quick and painless sort of thing here. Like, he was in for it. So
he got Ned Stark.
At least did they decapitate him first, at least?
Presumably, but God only knows. Course leads to a question.
Doesn't sound that bad, but
yeah, this leads to a question that I will pose, knowing full well that there's no way for me to answer. What the fuck did a baker do to deserve that kind of punishment?
Man, sometimes that bread is just bad.
What kind of bread was he baking? My lord. So there's that.
Is there no indication of like why?
Let's see. No.
He was angry with them.
Says they offended him.
Yeah, they offended him. The other translational note I want to make note of, though, is we start getting this in verse 5. NRSVUE. One night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream and each dream with its own meaning. The word meaning, often translated again as interpretation, isn't entirely accurate. And I'm going to read from Alter's notes here again. Although a long tradition of translation opts for interpretation, or in the case of NRSV, meaning here, the Hebrew verb patar and its cognate nouns suggest decipherment. Compared to the related term pesher used in the Dead Sea Scrolls, there is one conclusive decoding for every dream, and a person who is granted insight can break the code. So in his translation, rather than the term interpretation, he uses the term solution, which I think is extremely interesting, because that gives us, I think, a greater insight into what's going on here, because I've made no mistake about the fact that I absolutely loathe our modern use of the term interpretation. Because it suggests that Because interpretation in modern English is tied very heavily to opinion, to perspective, and makes it kind of a form of functional inaccuracy. So you can interpret something, but someone else can interpret the other way. And there's really no establishable validity to any form of interpretation, which, as anybody who's ever trained in understanding the scripture can tell you, is not fucking correct. There are right ways and wrong ways to understand this shit. Like, it's not entirely scientific, but like, if the verb says, you know, one thing and we translate it in English as another thing, like if the verb says have sex with young boys and the English we translate as murder all the gays, you're not right about that. Like, you can be wrong. It's not an issue of opinionated interpretation. And the same idea here is being presented in the case of dreams. So we talk about meaning and interpretation in modern English, thinking of it in terms of, okay, well, he's looking at it and saying, well, I think you might be dealing with this. This is just my opinion. No, like, he was looking at them and saying, God's clearly giving you a message and I'm going to help you decipher the code. He was expressing a clear and, from his perspective, unambiguous solution according to his understanding of how God worked in dreams. Now, as we see going down the line, of course, Joseph is right. Joseph has the gift of being able to look at these things and say, yeah, this is exactly what God's saying is going to happen, and being right about that, because he has the ability to think and decipher in that way. I'm hesitant with the terms meaning or interpretation here, because they bespeak a lack of validity and a lack of precision that the text doesn't support. Yes, dear Courtney, who has, for those of you on the podcast, has her hand raised.
Well, I interrupted. I don't want to be rude. Now I can't think what it was.
So that's why sometimes you just got to interrupt and go for it.
Right?
Go ahead. It's gone.
Yeah, we were just talking about the validity of interpretation, how it's precise and accurate, and like, that's what the scripture is telling us, and that is not how we tend to take it. And before I get too far into bitching about how we discredit biblical interpretation on those same grounds and should not, let's find something else to talk about, because I will rant about that for the next 2 to 4 hours if given license. So those are my translational issues. I mean, there's more in here, but they're smaller things of less significant import.
Do you think he just really fucked up the catering for an important event? The baker, I mean.
You know, maybe.
That's not what I was thinking earlier, but I'm like, I have to salvage this. I feel like a fucking idiot.
That's all right. I usually take the starring position of fucking idiot in most of these things anyway. Because of the three of us, only one of us is accountable to a higher body for their idiocy. So, you know, I'll bear the brunt for that. No,
not me.
Yeah, of course, presumably he fucked up catering or something, but like, again, the question remains, how bad?
Maybe the bread didn't rise and that was the whole thing. Never know. Sounds like a high-ranking politician to, you know, a mistake happens. Hang.
Yeah, like, maybe he really wanted to make an example of the guy. I don't know. You think throwing him in prison would be enough, because, again, the cupbearer was like, okay, just a few days in prison, you're fine, you're good, don't worry about it.
I still think the cupbearer and the chief baker combined points to some sort of a major gaffe at a big soiree.
Oh, almost certainly.
Sorry, I know this isn't important.
No, and I'm like, we're tripping steadily into angels on the head of a pin territory here, but yeah, probably. Somebody done fucked up Potiphar's dinner there or something, so, you know, or Pharaoh's dinner in this case. So, yeah. That's about it. So, yeah. So Joseph interpreting dreams. Apparently he can do that now. any questions? Anything that jumps out at y'all?
I feel like we've glossed over the whole very pointed, like, they make a big point of clarifying everything in this style of writing. That he hooked this dude up. He hooked them both up. And, you know, all he said was like, hey, remember me, you know, hook friend up. And nope.
Yep. And it's worth noting too. Where is it here? The verb for remembering that's used in verse 23 here could also mean to mention. So it may be that the cupbearer did remember him, but didn't mention it. Like, didn't say, he's like, he left. He remembered Joseph just fine. Didn't say shit.
Sounds familiar. Do a nice thing for someone.
Yeah, you know, like, how many times have you encountered in life an I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine, and you got to scratching only to find that they'd done run off?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that is a very common thing that happens. Overall, this is meaning to demonstrate that Joseph's faithfulness and service will eventually be rewarded, even if the individuals involved do not do their part in it. Which, again, this is another one of those overarching themes in the greater God story that is the Bible, is that righteousness and faithfulness and things like that may not be rewarded in the moment, but others may not remember, others may not recognize, others may not realize, but God does. And that eventually does come back, even if you have to suffer quite a while to get there. So that piece of it is still happening here. So yeah, it sucks that they don't mention him or remember him. Although, quite frankly, if the baker made mention of him, it probably wouldn't be to his benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess it's kind of a wash there. But yeah, that's pretty much that same theme is kind of working its way in here. This is one of our first real exposures to that theme too, which is kind of nice. Because mostly we've just been dealing with men of God use their dicks for terrible reasons. Yes, Tim, who is now also raising his hand and confusing the hell out of people on the podcast.
Well, you know, go watch the YouTube video.
There you go.
Won't have that problem. But may we start everyone's favorite segment of when I'm on any of these videos, and it's what the fuck did the evangelical church do with this story?
I'm guessing smoke a metric ton of LSD and talk all about the dreams and nothing else.
Yeah. The you want to know what's real funny? I didn't know that last few verses existed.
Really?
They stopped real short of that one.
Hmm.
And they go, oh yeah, he told all the dreams, and then the cupbearer went back to the Pharaoh, and he was all taken care of and seen. We don't get the you know, baker is impaled upon a spike and shown off to the city a la Ned Stark. Also, we don't get Joseph was forgotten.
Yeah, like, and it often undercuts the message of how we try to use this, either in evangelical cases or just generally in Sunday school, as look at Joseph showing off the power of God in him. Like, yeah, except nobody gave a shit. Nobody cared.
I said this in the last episode. I'll say it again. Is being a good person does not keep shitty things from happening to you. Thank you for teaching me that for the first 25 years of my life, Evangelical Church. I really appreciate it.
Yikes.
It's great. It doesn't cause trauma or anything. It doesn't cause any kind of, you know, backwards ass thinking that when you figure out it's not true, it breaks your entire reality. That doesn't happen at all.
No. Like, church trauma totally isn't a thing. I don't know about that.
But how can they preach? How can they essentially preach pulling yourself up by your bootstraps as something that's like biblical if, you know, working hard sometimes gets you fucking nowhere?
Because they leave that right last there in the part Bible. Out. Like, and this is really important.
Work
like,
hard, be a good person, get screwed over anyway. Like, that's life.
The Sunday school message, the evangelical message of Joseph's story is literally a bootstrap story. Keep doing your God thing, and eventually your hard work will pull you up by your own bootstraps. Never mind the fact that even the phrase by your own bootstraps was meant to demonstrate an impossibility and not something everybody should do. You know, there is that little etymological fact there for all y'all. But like, that's the message this is preached at, and you have to leave the last couple of verses off in order for that to work. Because the actual biblical message of this is, fuck you, you can't do it yourself, and people are going to cause you problems no matter what. Even if you're literally inspired and empowered by God to interpret dreams, or to solve dreams, per the Hebrew here, even if you're given that crazy-ass mystical power that is objectively clear, like, Joseph nails it here. Like, he is given the mystical ability to hear their dreams and say, yeah, you're going to have a good time, you're going to fucking die, and be right about it. And it means nothing in the overall scheme of things in this moment. Like, it doesn't do him any good. And that's the message, is that it doesn't matter how empowered you are. Sometimes life runs you the fuck over.
Are we going to talk about actual, whether or not like psychic dreams are actually a thing?
We can if we want to for a minute. Like, you know,
I think it's pertinent.
Yeah. It's worth noting, and I'll be the scientist of the group here to say that as much as, like, because y'all know me, I start from a position of being a fairly hardcore rationalist here, but I also have to recognize the limits of our rational understanding. And right now, we don't necessarily understand how consciousness works, and we sure as hell don't know what dreams are.
We don't even really understand sleep all that well.
Right? Like, the leading guesswork has to do with the brain processing things, but also we've all recognized that if the brain is processing things, the fact that it's not necessarily processing things in temporal order, and oftentimes it's processing shit that hasn't happened yet, should be kind of a pretty big indicator that consciousness, life, the universe, everything, all 42 pieces of it, are not what we expect them to be. And so there is, in my personal opinion, there is a degree of non-linearity to whatever the hell dreams are. There's a bit of figurativeness. Like, honestly, the closest I get to understanding what a dream even fucking is can be encountered in season 1, episode 1 of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, entitled Emissary, where he goes into the wormhole and encounters these prophets that don't know what the fuck time is, and they're constantly appearing in, like, these different vague and confusing images that make no sense and are completely out of order and all this other shit. Like, that's really what I think dreams are. Some of them is your brain just taking a shit, but sometimes you run into things that you're like, the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that wasn't related to anything I knew about or had ever experienced. Like, that wasn't just me having sex with 9 different women on top of Mount Everest for some reason. Like, that wasn't just weird wish fulfillment in strange ways. No, that was, that made no sense at all. And, you know, you have to be able to look at that and say, okay, something else is happening here. The hell if I know what. Now, Joseph here is one of those people who has that kind of nonlinear thinking that allows him to look at a dream and say, okay, your brain is not encountering the present or the past. Your brain is encountering the future. And, like, somebody looking on an eldritch horror is trying to box that into shapes and metaphors and imagery that you understand in the here and now. So I'm going to try and unpack that for you. Like, that's kind of what Joseph, I feel, is doing here, because he has that sort of prophetic, in the Deep Space Nine sense of nonlinear thinking. I love making Star Trek references, because every time I do, I get the rolling of eyes from Courtney, and it just makes me giggle.
But along the lines of that, we've talked a lot about prophecy, like in the Revelation Bible study. Please mm-hmm. come to the server and check that out. It's a lot of fun. Oh, yes.
Doing it twice a month now, by the way.
But, like, you've made a point of saying, you know, prophecy does not work that way. Like, prophecy is speaking truth to power. It's not predicting the future.
Yeah.
And there's been, I thought I had heard you say along the lines of, like, predicting the future isn't something, that's not something that, that's,
no, it's
not
a regular, it is not a regular talent that we employ. Mm-hmm. Now, it's worth noting, this is not prophecy that we're talking about here.
Like, right.
What we are talking about with Joseph is not in any way prophecy.
Interpretation of dreams. It's very specific, yeah. But it's, right. We're still
and in fact,
about
the only,
like,
usage of the term prophet that came up in this conversation was me making a Star Trek joke, referring to a very specific type of alien called prophet. So if you are not a Star Trek fan, dear listener, be aware of that fact. That was the only prophet reference I was making here. That being said, that's not to say that there is no instances of kind of clairvoyant thought process happening in the
clairvoyancy
Bible.
Clairvoyancy is a better word to use.
When it happens, though, it's usually in the context of dreams and visions. And 8 out of 10 times, it makes no goddamn sense. Like, and it's worth noting that outside of people with a very focused and particular set of spiritual gifts, that any type of reading of the future doesn't happen. Like, it's very rare to encounter someone who has that ability. And even in the cases where you do, it's usually someone who's able to read social trends and understand how God works in larger narrative schemes to say, if this keeps happening, this is the logical conclusion. Joseph is one of the rare examples we get of someone who does have the spiritual gift of temporally nonlinear thinking. That's how I would personally put it. Like, I wouldn't even necessarily conflate this as being mystical. Joseph has a brain that is not bound by temporal linearity. And so he's able to look at people.
This has gotten very Doctor Who.
You know what? Like, fantasy is another way of expressing theology in a lot of different ways. And I like to use really functionally scientific terms to explain what we're encountering because it makes more sense to me. As someone
just
who
feels rather wibbly wobbly, bibbly wibbly.
You know, what is the Bible but, you know, a literary TARDIS? It's a bit bigger on the inside because look at, we're only on chapter 40 after a year and a half of doing this shit. As wibbly wobbly, timely wimey as it gets.
Truth.
But no, I think like there's nothing wrong with us attempting to look rationally at some of the mysticism we're encountering. There are mystical elements to our own life. And my firm belief is that what we might call mystic is really just something we have not yet to understand by science. We had this conversation in our Revelation Bible study the other day about what are demons and how does exorcism work and shit like that. And I'm not going to relate that whole conversation because that's another 2 hours worth of conversation here. But one of the points I made there was that there are elements of the mystical that are things that we just as a rational species have not explored, branches of thought and interaction with the greater unknown that we have not pursued because we've taken a very narrow kind of rationalistic scientific method approach to life, which has left us with a whole separate category of shit that we haven't really explored. Like, in what ways is human conscious nonlinear? What do we do with invasive thought patterns that aren't derived from our own psychology that don't seem to make a whole lot of sense, like the metastasization of evil thoughts or what we might constitute a demon? Like, how does that shit work? The answer to that for a lot of that is I don't know. We never bothered exploring that. We focused on psychology and understanding like individuality and stuff like that, which are also valid things to explore, but it's left us with certain holes in our understanding that we can't explain in the same way that like quantum physics can't really explain past a certain point because, well, that's the limits of our understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's my rant on that particular issue. and if I keep going down this rabbit hole, we will be here for another 2.5 hours and we'll have to have another 5-part episode on something that isn't actually germane to the text. That being said, do we have anything else we want to explore from the text, or should we call it here and move on to the end of our episode?
Yeah, I think we should move on. We're good.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, dear listener and or viewer, I hope you have enjoyed this time we've spent together. It has certainly been meaningful to me and to the rest of us because we've loved having this conversation with you because we can't hear a word you're saying because it's a video. If you want to join in that conversation, however, we are a church that is based largely around a Discord server where people are talking about this shit all the time. So links
all
down
the
below.
Time.
Yeah, all the time. Like
non-linearly.
Really non-linear. And as somebody who's on the other side of the planet, like y'all are talking during my nighttime. So I have had to get the habit of silencing my phone because my wife gets pissed when y'all text in the middle of the night.
Future.
Anyway, come join us. It's fun. It's hilarious. And it's also deep and meaningful. Like, we have conversations about this stuff. We have a whole thread on our Discord server called Christianity AMA that I swear, I promise y'all, I'm going to answer the questions you've been putting up the last 24 hours, where we just ask these questions and y'all deal with me trying to give a response to it. And for those of you who are in our Discord server, we're doing a new members class as a pretty much a constant here, and we need more actual like signed up members. So come join us for that too. It's good, I promise. You get to vote on shit. It's great. But we're doing that. We have our regular worship service coming up. By the time this airs, we're going to be looking forward to our December worship service. And let me tell you, our first worship in December is the beginning of the Advent season, which is the start of the Christian year. And I don't, at the time of recording, I don't know what the hell we're going to be doing, but it's going to be fun and it's going to be big and it's going to be great. We're going to have a great time. So come join us for that. And if nothing else, could you please, please, please listen to the pleading request of our dear friend Courtney, who asks you to
like, share, and subscribe, won't you?
Please. Actually, in all seriousness, like, it really does help us the more this gets out here.
Yeah, comment below for if you know.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Leave a comment. You know, tell us how we're being heretics. It's been almost a year since a YouTube rando has left a rant about how we're terrible people. And you know, if that's what you're on about, like, go ahead, give it a shot. See how it works out for you. You know, I might actually talk to you for a little bit before deleting your comments.
And if you do want to have like a good faith conversation, like, that's a thing too.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's what we're here for. We're all about that. So that being the case, I hope you have a wonderful week and we will see you on the next episode of Back to Basics. Bye, y'all.
Peace.